Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you again this day. We praise you again for your written word, clear instruction to those whose hearts would be moved by the Holy Spirit of God to know the truth of God. Speak to our hearts this morning, Father. Push away the anxiety and worry of this world. Father, touch us where we have the places of hurt and anguish of this world, and help us to rest everything in you. Lord, help us to know the goodness of the confession of sin, and if there's sin there that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about, that we would take this time before you now to ask for your forgiveness, confess it, knowing you are faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Opportunity and equipping. Do we understand the opportunity and the equipping that God presents to us while we are here on this earth? Now, I wanted to do a little bit of an overview of kind of a timeline, so to speak. And as we look at this, if we trust Bishop Usher, and he was a brilliant man, and he had suggested that the earth could be as young as 6,000 years old. And we know it's not millions and billions, okay? So it could be 6,000 years old, 8,000 years old. We're not here to debate that. What we're here this morning is to get a perspective. So let's go with the 6,000, okay? Then we have 6,000, 5,000, 4,000, 3,000, 2,000, 1,000, and then down to us, kind of like an earth timeline. Okay, now picture this as a timeline for eternity, except for I can't come near close to doing that because eternity doesn't begin and it doesn't end, does it? So we've got to use our imagination a little bit, but picture this timeline of eternity, and then we take our earth timeline, 6,000 years, which seems like a long time. Sometimes to us, one day seems like a long time. 1 hour seems like a long time, but 6,000 years from our perspective. But if we take that 6,000 years and we put it, okay, so I'm going to take and I'm going to make a mark and show how we would represent that on the timeline of eternity. Oh, wait a minute, I can't do that. Why couldn't I do that? Because I couldn't make a speck so small. I couldn't make a speck small enough to put on this line to have any really true perspective of even that 6,000 years, the timeline of eternity. Well, now picture little old us. The Bible depicts us as a mist, a vapor. Said we're here, and then we're gone. And yet, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Pretty amazing. Those were barely little blips on the radar of eternity. Imperceptible. And yet the opportunity that we have to impact eternity. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Technically, biblically speaking, we appear on this planet for a practically imperceptible amount of time as our lives are compared to mist, mere vapors, minuscule blips across the backdrop of eternity. And yet, the opportunity that we have to impact eternity. I'm going to read our entire text today because I want to see this all lumped together from beginning to end. Verse 18 of Romans 8, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us or in us. For the creation," now a note for those of you using King James, if your word hasn't been updated there, in some of your King James Bibles it has been, you might have creature there. You'll understand this text a lot better if you understand the word really should be creation there. should be creation there. For the creation, not the creature, but for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as we ought. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. God has a pretty complete plan for our lives, doesn't he? When we see that, and you'll see in your notes, and I've got the movie, The Great Day of God, and the trilogy, the prequel. You know, the prequel is the story before the story. If any of you ever here watch any of the Star Wars movies, okay, Lee and I have watched some of the Star Wars. Years ago, the kids were smaller, and we went in Wyoming. We didn't have a television, so when we would come back and visit Grandma and Grandpa, and they had the Star Wars shows so the kids could watch it, oh, man, that was just great. Well, it was so popular, and there have been others too now, but it was so popular, they said, wow, we could draw more interest and cha-ching, make more money. We'll do a prequel. We'll go back now and we'll plan the storyline before all of these things happened. And then sometimes what we're more familiar with is a sequel. Something will come out and it'll be very popular, a story, maybe made into a movie. And, oh, that was so good. We've got to have, you know, version 2 and 3 and 4. We've got to have a sequel or maybe multiple sequels to that. Well, now our prequel and our current story and our sequel, it wasn't God came up with the story and then he said, oh, that was so good, I'm going to have to write a prequel. No, that story was there in eternity past. Do you realize, or do we ever stop and think, when did your salvation begin? When did your salvation begin? Well, the Bible tells us it began in what we call, and it's kind of a misnomer, but we call it eternity past. It's one of our best ways of being able to understand, plug things into eternity. Because before the foundation of the world, what's Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 tell us? Before the foundation of the world, we were chosen. Before the foundation of the world, we were predestined in the love of God as adoption as sons and daughters. That's our what's our current story? Well, I've titled this movie The Dark Planet. The Dark Planet. Actually, I think C.S. Lewis might have done that before me, but you probably have never heard of him. Of course, you've all heard of me, so. We live on a dark planet. See, what we're doing is we're getting perspective. I want us to have the, and it's not something where sometimes we come up with, you'll hear somebody and they'll be maybe delivering a message or telling a story in whatever context, religious or otherwise, and it's like, man, I've got a line here. Or I've heard, like I went to a preaching seminar years ago, and the guy was talking, and he said, now you get that, guys? He said, now that'll preach. Well, sometimes we have that stuff, and it's like, now that'll preach. And what do we mean? It's like, well, That's interesting. That'll grab people's attention. And for our particular group, boy, that'll probably draw them right in. So that'll preach. Now, that's not necessarily bad. It can be, but the main thing is will it preach before the throne of God? Will it preach before the throne of God? Will it stand up to the test of this book? What I'm sharing with you this morning, you better believe it will. Oh, yeah. Our story. It's right here. I don't have to embellish it. I don't have to spin it. I don't have to make it more interesting. All we have to do is listen closely enough to what God's telling. We don't have to make... Oh, these people, I've got to make the Bible interesting. What Bible are they reading? Got to make the Bible interesting? Folks, we, the children of God, our prequel, our salvation, the story started before we started. Now, we have this, these things of this, the foreknowing, predestination, and all these things, and we could get into a lot of debate. What I've tried to do on our study sheets is just give us foreknew, predestined, and conformed in their most basic forms, from more biblical context, and then what our English means. Just get it down to the most basics. And foreknew, if you see on the inside of your sheet, it's at the top, it's to know beforehand. Predestined is to decide upon beforehand. Conformed is to take on the same form, or in this case, God has decided to conform us, to make us into the image, conform us to the image of Christ. I am going to just state what I think is the clearest teaching of Scripture, and we're not going to go off on rabbit trails of Calvinism and Arminianism, and I even ran across another one, open theism, where we're trying to explain, well, how could God do such a thing, know these people before we're even born, and then say, those are the ones who I'm going to call, and they're going to be my church. Those are the ones I'm going to call, and they're going to be my people. What the objections and what I think a lot of our theories and sometimes our theology is shaped on that is because we say, well, that's not fair. Well, that's not fair. God would choose some. Well, what about the others? Well, we're not. What we're talking today is just what it says here. I don't know about you, but my God's a good God. You'll never catch me apologizing for God, and if you do, would you speak to me, please? You won't catch me defending God and say, well, I know that seems kind of unfair, but no, God said it. We'll understand it. What did they say in the old days? By and by. By and by. If God chooses to tell, my God is good. My God is love. My God is light. My God is everlasting and infinite in his wisdom and knowledge. His paths are past searching out or finding out. What in the world makes us think, just because something's written in the Bible, that we can go back and we can figure it all out? Can we just believe what God said here? And when we hear God's voice in that way, our salvation, now it's already special, but it becomes so special. I mean, folks, when we see what God has done and what he's doing and what he's going to carry through, we should be shocked and amazed and sing the glory of God. Now we're going to go back to the first of the text. We suffer as part of our inheritance of this glory to come. We suffer as part of our inheritance of this glory to come. This mist and this vapor and this line of eternity that we can't even if I could put the tiniest little speck, it would still be too large to represent our time here on this earth. And we go through stuff. Now here, this is pretty amazing too. So we say, well, first, just for just a second, we can see how people could see how, oh, my life is so insignificant. I'm nothing. I'm just another one of billions. We could see that, couldn't we? And we could see if they fall into that, how they could despair, even to take their own life, couldn't we? But what is the complete opposite of that? That you see your place before God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ in his redemption. Because we could say, well, we're just, well, this is what's so amazing. We're just that mist. We are just that vapor. And you, as one of God's children, are precious in his sight. Now, we're not just talking about anybody here. It'd be something, you know, we really love each other here, I do believe. And I watch you sing and look at your faces and precious in my sight. But compared to God, we had one of the truck drivers, and he'd say, that ain't nothing. And the guys, his story was always better. And so they'd be talking about something on the radio, and he'd say, that ain't nothing. So then they, how people are tend to do, they'd start teasing him with it. Somebody'd be telling something, and they'd say, that ain't nothing. But compared to me looking at you as the precious people of God, and God, as opposed to guys like that, ain't nothing. God looking at you, creator, redeemer, the one who's in over this realm of eternity and infinity. He's not saying that when we suffer, it doesn't hurt. He's not saying our anguish isn't a big deal. Just read through Hebrews. Look at the life of Christ. He lived that we could have a merciful and faithful high priest. He took the brunt of this world so he could identify with us. Here's another thought, and this came to me this morning. I'm reviewing my notes. Christ's time on this earth, as Jesus the human, Son of God, came to earth. It was just a little mist too, wasn't it? I turned 62 years old this past week. Jesus died when he was only 32 or 33. Isn't that something, that perspective, but we get some just here and then. What would we say if we knew of this good young man and he did such wonderful work and, oh my goodness, we found out he died at only 33 years old. We'd say, oh, what a shame. What a tragedy. But look what he accomplished. Salvation for billions before, and millions and billions after, that stands for all eternity. Jesus had a mission. He kept his eyes on that. Did he suffer just a little bit? Oh, the agony of the physical agony of the cross. And then as Merv pointed out this morning, just, I can't picture. I'm a sinful being, so I'm kind of used to sin. So, but Jesus, perfect, felt the weight, carried, took this sin on himself for us, this perfect being who'd had perfect fellowship, holy, intimate fellowship with the Father. And now he had to take the Father's wrath, and he had to bear our sin in his own body on the tree. Jesus suffered just a little bit. Do we suffer just a little bit? God doesn't minimize our suffering, but you know what he tells us? It's nothing compared to the glory to come. What does that mean? That can either mean that, well, what that means is the glory to come is glory to come. Knock your socks off, flatness on the ground in worship, fall down and adore him, amazed beyond our comprehension, the glory to come. That's why what can hurt so badly, and God said, not saying it doesn't count. He's saying, compare just that little bleep. He said, can you hang on for just a minute and trust me with it? Because that's what this text shows us. Our suffering does not compare to the glory to come. And you know, this text, and I had not until I had, I maybe reading through the Bible on my own, or maybe a Romans class at Moody, but this stuff about the whole creation groaning, isn't that something? It's almost like a Narnia, you know, a C.S. Lewis. But it's like the whole creation. This is such a big deal, this turmoil, this pain that sin brought to this world, that the whole creation is groaning. And you know what they're looking for? Our ultimate salvation, what God calls our glorification. And it's the creation is personified. It's personified here. Now, how that works out in heaven, and I'm not going to run past what Scripture says here, but God's creation just can't wait, as we can't wait, as we're groaning, waiting for that time. But we wait in hope, folks, and we wait with patience. I think I've got a John Calvin quote somewhere on your sheet, and it talks about the ones who they want a visible salvation. God, give me a blessing. Would you just take a minute and pray for me that I'll have a new BMW when we go out? I mean, we got faith, or we got faith. And, you know, maybe a couple million in my bank account. I mean, we got faith, or, and this hip, I won't be able to dance next Sunday. So would some of you, see, we want a visible salvation. We want so much less than what God wants for us. And as his believer, whether we realize it or not, whether we're wanting less and whether we don't have the perspective or not, but as his believer, you're going to get everything he promised and you didn't even know it was there. Do you know what I'm saying? We're going to see, you're going to get the whole package. We were talking in one of the translations about that leaven, and it said a new lump. Well, we could be called a lump sometimes. You might be that lump. We might not be listening as closely. And we might not have the perspective, and the Holy Spirit might not have our attention. But if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you're going to get it all. You are going to be part of the glory to come, revealed to us, revealed in us. And creation on that great day of God, after a great fire that burns the current heavens and earth, and that great day, and all creation is going to rejoice. That's what Jesus did in 32 years. We groan as we eagerly wait for the redemption of our bodies. We wait in hope for the coming glory with patience. See, hope that's seen, that's not hope. If you're hoping for something and then you get it, just not hope any longer, you got it. This is too good to have it all here. But I'll tell you what God brings, and when he brings his filling of the Spirit, it gives us an idea of this coming glory. We suffer as part of our inheritance of the glory to come. Secondly, God's good plan for the glory to come takes into account our weakness. And that's what I was going to put here. I was going to put, it takes into account our weakness. But I thought, wait a minute, Dave, what's the text say? I like the New American Standard translation of Romans 8:28. That's what I quoted earlier. And God causes all things. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. You NASBers out there, I don't know if I had it exactly right, but I think it's close. But God causes to those who what? Love him. He takes into account. Now, isn't it something? It doesn't take into account our brilliance. It doesn't take into account, oh, I've been such a good, righteous man. You know, what I'm saying, on my own. Our love for him. He takes into account our weakness. He takes into account our love relationship with him. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Sometimes we pray and we can articulate, and sometimes, you know, I've shared with you, I feel like, you know, when I'm witnessing to somebody and I might as well be going boo, 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 like that. And sometimes you feel like that when you're trying, it's like, there's something there and you're trying to pray to God and you're trying to call out to God. And like last week, Abba, Father. And Holy Spirit's there just taking that, and he's just taking it into his editing room, and he's clearing it all up, and he's thinking of the things that we didn't think of and the things that we needed to think of, and he's bringing them before our Father in heaven. Intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. For those who... And then verse 28. And this is something too. Now, I started to present this in a way, too. I started to print it like this, like you have this beautiful gem, this beautiful diamond, this beautiful pearl, and how much more beautiful when you have this backdrop, but it's beautiful anyway, but it's the backdrop gives us the contrast. And so we don't, with the contrast in setting this God causing all things to work together for good, we don't make that promise more beautiful. We just can see it more clearly sometimes by the backdrop. And now seeing the backdrop of everything that God has done and the things that Paul has spoken to us, that God has, that our justification, all these things that happened, the finished work of Christ, all these things that happened at our conversion. And it's like, well, yeah, for we know it. We know that, don't we? God's been telling us. Paul's been telling us for 8 chapters. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that God will work everything out for good. And we need to remember that, don't we? I know I need to remember it sometimes, because sometimes it doesn't seem like that. And when it doesn't seem like that, I need to let God speak his truth to me and give me the real picture, because it is going to work out for good. And we hear things, and we hear a 36-year-old mother just giving birth and fighting for her life with cancer, and a little 7-year-old girl dies in a fire, and you just want to sit there and start crying. And the woman who's been dealing, your friend, Darlene, fight cancer for 11 years and had already lost her husband. And God knows all those things. God knows all those things. They mean something to him. We mean something to him. That's how good his plan is, that it can take all these fragments and all this hurt and all this anguish. We'll see the coming glory. God's good plan for the glory to come takes into account our weakness and our love for him. Lastly, this morning, God's good plan to bring us to the coming glory spans eternity. And I see verses 29 and 30 as I've never seen them before. And it's because of this progression through the book of Romans. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Are we getting what that's saying? Those whom he foreknew, he predestined, he chose. What did he choose us to be? To be conformed? To be made really good people? To be made just really, boy, I've really got something special for you. To be conformed to the image of who? His son. Who's that? Jesus Christ. Mercy and grace and the love of God and should just blow us away. The prequel. Our salvation started back here. God's working it out now. He's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. Our suffering is part of that. Let me find my place. In order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. You see the way we're identified with Jesus Christ there? Now, we're never son of God. We're sons of God. We're not son of God like Jesus is son of God. We're not going to become deity, not like that. Although if some earthling saw us in our supernatural glorified bodies, they'd probably fall down and worship us. Because this picture that we get, but this identity that we have, again, what Jesus did, Jesus accomplished quite a bit in 32, 33 years, didn't he? God chose some people to be conformed to the image of his son before the foundation of the world. Those whom he decided upon, he called. Those whom he called, he made ready through the shed blood of Christ. Okay, verse 30. And those whom he predestined, those whom he chose, he called. Now called, now we're here, now the current movie, now the current story. Because you get called while we're here on the planet. And those whom he called, he also justified. And it's the same word all through. It's justified all through Romans. Justified, it's the same word. Made righteous. It's all through there. You see, God is going to complete his work. In God's eyes, it's completed. That's why I said, whether you understand this or not, whether we're just a lump sitting there and we're battling the Holy Spirit or not, if you've truly believed in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, you get the whole thing. Why is that? Because you aren't doing it, so you can't mess it up. And God's doing it, and God doesn't mess around in his salvation plan. Those whom he called, he made ready through the shed blood of Christ. He justified. That's just what it's saying. And those whom he justified, the coming day of glory. There's a coming day of glory. Those whom he justified, he glorified. Are we ready to believe God? I have to keep asking myself that. I study these things and it's almost unbelievable, God's goodness. And it's a little scary because God calls us from faith to faith. But we weren't given a spirit of slavery that leads to fear. We looked at that last week, didn't we? With God, we're all in, aren't we? We keep believing him. Folks, believe him for who he says we are. Not some religion or not some cultural pressure, some societal pressure, whether it's materialistic society or whether it's Christian society. What are the clear statements in Scripture telling us who we are and what we're about? We're just a mist and a vapor, and yet we have opportunity to impact eternity, to share the gospel with people that they might come to him, and then we just can never underestimate the opportunity to honor God. What's our movie here? The Dark Planet, right? To honor God while living on the dark planet. We don't want to miss this opportunity. And the other thing is, because we can say this sometimes, and we've probably all heard it a lot of times, maybe we've said it, well, we're getting older. Now, we talked about maybe we didn't have tomorrow. We might not have the rest of today. But you know what? 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, you could have that full life of service like that, and that's still just a blip on the horizon. What I'm trying to say is since that long a time, which seems like a long time to us, is just a blip. Well, one single day is only a blip, but one single day matters. That's what I'm trying to say. It's even a smaller blip, but you couldn't tell it in view of eternity. So we live that next day to the glory of God. And we live that next week to the glory of God. And we live that next month to the glory of God. We might not have as many of those days and weeks and months left, but we've got something. And if we're doing that, look out, community. Look out the witness, the gospel witness, the Holy Spirit moving in this surrounding area, moving in our hearts and minds, and moving in our church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you this day. Thank you for this wonderful text, your amazing word, and this a small part of your glory. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to believe you, Lord. We have faith. Help us where we need to believe even more. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.